It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. The Super Bowl is going to be played on Sunday. Super Bowl 48 will pair the AFC champion Denver Broncos against the NFC champion Seattle Seahawks. And for the first time ever, the big game is being played in a cold weather northern city outdoors, which means there may be some snow and temperatures in all likelihood will not get above freezing, if at all. Here to talk about that aspect of the game and the matchup is our own sports guy, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette sports writer emeritus Bob Dvorak. Check out his video blog, Sportsnet. Bob, how are you?
Good, Paul. Good to be here.
A game outdoors in New York City in February. What do you think of the whole idea and the curiosity factor here of people looking forward to seeing two teams playing in some real challenging elements?
Well, I think it's the biggest impact will be on the fans and all the activities, not the game itself. I mean, it is this first cold weather Super Bowl, but before the Super Bowl, the NFL routinely had championship games in cold climates. You remember the Ice Bowl in Green Bay? Playoff game a couple of weeks ago in Green Bay was very frigid. For some, it's the NFL getting back to its roots, but the NFL can do no wrong. This game just markets itself. It's the spectacle more than the game that people are interested in.
But you hear people saying, you know, with the cold weather we've been having, what a mistake this is. It's going to take away from the game. It's going to diminish the ability of great players like Peyton Manning to throw the football and put points on the board out there. What do you think about that?
I think the elements will have some impact on the game, and especially Denver because of the offense. The number one offense against the number one defense in the Seahawks, and traditionally defense wins championships and offense sells tickets. So the team that probably will be most affected by it would be Denver.
Do we know why this decision was made in the first place? Because starting with the first Super Bowl, it's generally been played indoors in a controlled climate or in a warm weather climate. The very first Super Bowl between the Chiefs and the Packers was in the Los Angeles Coliseum on a warm, sunny day. And usually that's the way it goes. So how did this happen?
Well, yeah, you have an outdoor hockey game in Los Angeles, and that came off. Really, it goes back to the Giants building a new stadium and the commitment to the New York owners who were founders of the league, the Mara family, NFL patriarchs. So there's a lot of factors that go into it, but I think the NFL just wanted to see what it could do with a cold weather site in a big city where you would pay New York City prices to watch a game in New Jersey.
There are a lot of pundits who are saying that this is a mistake, that this is risky. You could have weather Armageddon out there. What do you think?
Pundits are they're never right anyway. They're always complaining. Why don't we go back to ancient Rome? And this game does have Roman numerals. I wonder what the founders of Circus Maximus would think about this. It just adds an element of authenticity to America's passion, America's game.
Will they ever stage a game like this in a cold weather city outdoors? And if so, why not Pittsburgh? Could we host the Super Bowl someday?
Well, right. There's talk that it could go to Washington, and Pittsburgh would be a possibility with the Rooney family. Pittsburgh put in a bid for the Olympics. Why couldn't it host the Super Bowl? If it were this week, it would, the polar vortex would be replace the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders on the sideline, but that's neither here nor there.
We're talking with our sports guy, Bob Dvorak, about the Super Bowl, and one of the traditions of the Super Bowl, and this one should be no exception, is trash-talking. Players have done it traditionally. They call it now smash-mouth football. Richard Sherman is a defensive back for the Seattle Seahawks who has achieved quite a bit of notoriety for having launched into a tirade after the Seahawks win over San Francisco in the NFC Championship game, in which he talked badly about an opposing player and was taken to task somewhat for it. But this is nothing new, is it, Bob?
I'll go back to the first Super Bowl, Kansas City and Green Bay. Fred the Hammer Williamson said he was going to stop the Green Bay sweep, and he ended up, I think, being carried off the field on a stretcher. I mean, trash talking is all part of the game. It's a posturing, breast beating in front of the cameras. But I remind you of what a famous Pittsburgh coach by the name of Chuck Knoll once said, that false chatter never did win a game.
And the Steelers are no strangers to that. Joey Porter was doing that a few years ago when the Steelers won their fifth Super Bowl. And the Steelers have also been on the other end of it. Terry Bradshaw in a famous incident years ago, right?
Well, right. When you talk about the Dallas Cowboys linebacker Thomas Henderson, who said Bradshaw.
Hollywood Henderson.
Bradshaw couldn't spell cat if you spotted him the C and the A. Joey Porter called out Jermaine Stevens, tight end from Seattle, in the game in Detroit where it snowed really badly on game day, but it was played indoors. So, you know, these guys are, pumped full of adrenaline and they're big he-men. And so they talk, but the talk doesn't mean anything.
Is there, when going back to Richard Sherman, is there perhaps a different protocol that needs to be put into place to avoid a scene like that, which the NFL and the Seahawks were clearly embarrassed by, where you allow a player maybe a cool-down period, you don't have the on-field interviews, you wait till they have a chance to comport themselves and then stand up in front of a podium in a post-game setting? Is that maybe how some of this should be handled?
You mean, Paul, you're talking about eliminating sideline reporters? I mean, no, really, is it a cooling-off period or is it being phony? A guy was being himself. He was, just came off the field of combat and was still feeling the effects of the game and said it. I'd rather they see them be themselves so you get a glimpse of what these people are really like. He certainly wasn't the first one to say something angry after a game. I've heard it through 46 years of covering events, and you get a glimpse. They usually don't say it on national TV right after a game, but that's the way they feel.
So would people be surprised at some of the things the players say when the cameras aren't on, that you as a writer have been exposed to?
I think they would be extremely surprised, but it's, then again, it's the reality of it. Who cares if a player's angry after a game unless it leads to something, but it is a glimpse into that culture of what they're really like.
There are some off-the-field issues with the NFL that have made news lately. One is that the settlement that was reached between the players who've been affected, who have been suffering residual adverse effects of concussions, they had settled with the NFL, but apparently not so fast, the courts are saying. What's going on there?
Well, yeah, when you talk about a $750 million settlement, it sounds like a lot of money, but with the number of people involved and who's going to get paid, it may not be all that much, and it precludes the NFL from paying any further damages because they sign off and say, we're not going to sue you anymore. So it deserves a second look. But once you get into the courts and the lawyers are in charge, I don't know if you're ever going to settle this.
And on a much less important scale, some rule changes are being considered. And one of them that people have been discussing is the idea of eliminating the extra point. Now, this would be after a touchdown, team scores, they're awarded 6 points, and then the kicker comes out and adds on an extra point if he kicks it through the uprights. Now, suddenly, after decades of extra points, the NFL is deciding that they might look at changing this. Why are they doing it, and how would they do it?
Well, I think the reason that Roger Goodell gave is he wanted to pump some excitement into the game as if this game needs any more excitement. I mean, I can remember when they changed the worth of a touchdown from 4 points to 6 points, and what an outcry that raised. They're talking. But my point, my take on this, Paul, is if it's not broke, why are you fixing it? I just don't see why they would tinker with anything like that in the game to add excitement.
What are they talking about doing?
Well, a touchdown would be worth 7 points automatically. You wouldn't have to kick the extra point. However, if you wanted to go for two, then you could get 8 points, the two-point conversion, and if you failed, then it would only be worth six. Now, that's about as clear as mud, is it not? So how that fixes a game, I have no idea.
Any prediction on the outcome of Super Bowl 48?
Well, traditionally, I say, a number one defense against the number one offense, and the number one offense has to deal with weather. I think the Seahawks win because of their defense.
All right. You heard it here first. Our sports guy, Bob Dvorak, sports writer emeritus for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, and he has a video blog you can check out. It's called Sportsinet. Thanks, Bob.
Thank you, Paul.
And thank you for listening to Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. If you missed any portion of this program or would like to check out some of our past shows, you can go to our website at wesa.fm. For now, I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Have a great weekend, everybody.